Welcome to Alter the Podcast with me, your host, Heather Brienne. Together, we will explore guided practices and intimate conversations with mindful movers from across the globe in order to inspire more movement in your life. Here, you are invited to evolve the practices of yoga, meditation, and mindful living with us. Welcome. Welcome to Alter. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. Heather and Tanya, we're here. This is Alter the Podcast. Delighted to have you. Delighted to be here with you, Tanya. How you doing?
Thank you so much, Heather. It's always just so... The invitation to meditation is just... it's like giving a... You know, letting a kid in a candy store. For me, it's like, yeah, I'll take that. Thank you. So doing this podcast and spending time talking about meditation and talking about Dr. Lauren Roche's book, The Radiant Sutras, is such a balm to the system, to the mind, to the skin, to the senses. Today we were going to discuss Sutra 3. Yeah, we were going to dive into it a little bit.
Yeah.
And I love that Sutra 3 as well talks about breath. And he spends the Vinyana Bhairavatantra talks about breath for a while in the beginning of the conversation between Lord Shiva and Goddess Shakti. And in this experience, in this moment, there is the mention of breath as an experience that fills the vessel of the body, and the exhale is the emptying, the complete exhalation, the complete void of oxygen from the body. And again, it also kind of leads me to think about that pulse, that rhythm that we're all encircled in. We're living in this fabric of the universe where this is what holds us, that the dance between the in-breath and the out-breath is where we exist. Mm-hmm. And part of the reason why meditation teachers and meditators often find breath to be the easiest doorway into meditation is because all of life is really held between these two spaces. Mm-hmm. And I especially love the last five lines of this sutra, Heather, if you want to read and share the experience.
Yeah, absolutely. So just a few things I wanted to share about before I get there, about breath in our meditation time compared to breath in like pranayama or like a breath work practice. So we're speaking to this in a way where we're inviting it into meditation time that is different. Like as a teacher of breath work, like there are times and places to be in specific breathing practices, and there are amazing tools for that. But what we're speaking to and what I've learned from Lauren that I love so much and from the sutras is to be in a different sort of relationship with our breath where we're not perhaps intentionally manipulating it in ways to create internal states through the chemistry and the mechanics of the breath. Yes, those things might be happening, but we're not necessarily thinking about how many breaths in and breaths out and counting and holding and all of these things. It's one of the words that continues to resonate over this last week is this idea of cherishing the breath, and this sutra invites us, or this word is found in the sutra, which I personally love so much. So the filling and the emptying again, not with any count or not with any like specific goal in mind other than to maybe embody that experience. So for like even right now is taking a breath in and noticing that sensation of filling up, and which parts of your body do you feel filling up with the air. And then that idea of when the breath flows out, we could symbolically consider like, what do we want to release? Or even again, just being in that, the experience of your body, of of feeling a little emptied out, and you might pull your navel back a little bit and like squeeze the air out to feel less full. So just for another moment, the filling and the emptying inside of your body. And what would it be like to be in the exploration just for a few seconds to cherish the fact that you can feel that right now? To cherish your own aliveness through that rhythm of breath. That you're here, that you can hear and you can see, and you're driving, or you did your to-do list, or you haven't done your to-do list, and the fact that you can think that, and that this very breath, this feeling and emptying, this like rhythm that is happening all the time, that's going to continue to happen until the day that we die, that this is what is keeping us here, that we stop breathing, right? Yes, right, right. So cherishing these moments, mind dissolves into heart. Mind dissolves into heart. What stands out to me in that is that when we spend a little bit of time with our breath, and over time as a practice, as a tool, that this can bring us into that experience of our bodies, right? And maybe right into the heart space. It could be a different space for you, but right now, this invitation, mind dissolves into heart. Heart dissolves into space. Body becomes a vibrating field, pulsating between fullness and emptiness. Consider our bodies as the vibration, right? The chemical exchange that's happening. There's a pulsation, there's a vibration. Ultimately, when we maybe track out farther and farther and farther, that it's all movement. Vibrating fullness and emptiness. To notice if you can sense that subtle vibration. Maybe it's your heartbeat. You might describe it as some sort of pulsation. I was thinking of it as like this, the sparkling or the sparkly aliveness, that effervescence, that something that tells you that you're alive and that you're here, you know, and it's through our sensory experience. And that foundation is like breath, you know, it's always there for us to call upon again as a way of inner exploration, to be on the adventuring with your breath, in relationship with your breath, as a way to perhaps to experience infinity, to move beyond what is just this physical body.
I think that's what I love so much about this system of meditation, this style, is that it's such an invitation. It's such a generous, warm, loving invitation to become intimate with yourself, with subtler things, you know. We never really spend time exploring the breath, engaging with the breath. It's the thing that we take the most for granted. And that's part of the reason why I love the style of meditation, because it's such an active way to be. At no point is it an invitation into becoming passive. To become a zombie, to cleanse your mind of every thought and be an empty vessel. I mean, if that works, that's fine. But
for and if maybe if people, you naturally get there, that's fine. Like, I feel like I have experiences where I just, there is a lot of emptiness, but I'm not going into meditation to experience that necessarily, right? It's like I might get there. That might be a part of the journey, but to have that as a goal, to say this is why we do this, is like the opposite of what we're doing here and that what we're exploring. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And to be curious about the things that we take for granted, you know, to get that engaged with life.
To get that engaged with life. I love that. To be engaged with life, the things that are there and true and real, like to the, like, no, like not saying like, no, thank you to all the things that are just already there. Learning how to, I mean, this is from our last episode, learning how to be with those things that are inherently a part of every single one of our lives. It's like, we can't stop that current. Like, that is the current. There are currents that we just, no matter what we do, we cannot stop.
Absolutely. Know? Absolutely. And if this, and I would offer just one thing, if this is helpful to anybody who is struggling with meditation and who feels like when they do sit down with themselves and they take a moment away from the distractions of life and say, oh, I'm just going to be with myself. And they hit that place of discomfort. They come across something that is uneasy or a memory that they don't really need to revisit. They feel like they don't want to. One of the things that helps me in those moments is truly observing and getting curious about the thing that is making me uncomfortable. But not, and it's almost a little bit like becoming like a little child, like having that kind of wonderment and being like, whoa, that's weird that that came up. And how did that make me feel? Like, you kind of become your own cross-examiner, but not an unpleasant one, I'm curious about that. Why does it make me feel that way? What's that about? You know, and of course, there's no need to seek a resolution, but even just being with the why, being with the question, being with the curiosity. Another thing that helps me, that may help our viewers and our listeners, is writing stuff down. Like, sometimes when I'll hit that wall and I'll be like, this thing, I don't know. I'll be like, all right, let's just do a free, you know, subconscious stream of writing. Like, not, I won't care about the grammar, I won't care about the punctuation, I'll just start writing like an artist starts painting on a canvas. Just go with the colors that are calling your attention, or if a feeling in your heart, you know, go with the feeling in your heart that, and express from that space. So if that helps to overcome the discomfort, if the discomfort shows up. And how curious, I'm always like, well, how curious that that uncomfortable episode showed up.
Yes. So the tools of curiosity, and then what you're sharing is so potent. And it's that the fact that journaling can be a part of your meditation practice. You can be so uncomfortable in your body that you need to get up and move and come back and maybe journal and then come back to sitting down or lying down, or if you stay standing. And that is how, that's a part of the flow of your meditation, to say that you have to, you know, continue to sit there when you're trembling. And even, you know, you might get an intuitive hit to do the journaling, or to have the sip of water, to turn on a soothing song that you know will support you in that time. Yes, this can be a part of, absolutely, please be a part of your, you know, quote unquote meditation time, right? Like, let go of any of the rules of what should be in that time and be curious and open to what the need that is presenting, like that is, you know. And sometimes you may not need any of those things. You're so content to lay there and just chill out. And other times that may not be the case. Right. So that's the idea of the naturalness with ourselves and the trusting of our inherent wisdom and the tools that you already have inside of you, and to ride those rhythms, say yes to those inner rhythms of yourself, you know, especially if you have journaling practice in your life already. To say that that can't be a part of your meditation time is just like ludicrous to me, like just silly.
Yeah,
silliness.
I have to tell you something wild. I mean, this has been happening with me for so many years now. I mean, we're both yoga teachers and we have our own personal practice of yoga as well. So for me, yoga is a meditation. So when I get onto my mat and I'm moving. And I don't really necessarily do asanas when I'm doing my own yoga for myself. Mm-hmm. I just need mm-hmm. to know that I'm on the mat and mm-hmm. my body, and I'm making space for my body to move in the way that it needs to. Mm-hmm. Inevitably, while I'm in the middle of the movement, I'll keep my journal next to me because I will be inspired to write something. And so much of my writing happens while I give myself that time to move my body. So I really think going with what feels natural for mm-hmm. you and what feels like, yeah, this is my yes right now. Mm-hmm. This is my yes. You know, maybe while meditating, I want to listen to that particular song. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's going to support me in this moment right mm-hmm. now, or making that cup of tea, or, you know, whatever it is that you're called, taking a walk. Your walk is your meditation. Mm-hmm. But being mm-hmm. open to really listening to where mm-hmm. your mind, your heart, your body wants to take you, your soul mm-hmm. wants to take you. Mm-hmm. That's getting intimate. That's getting really yeah. intimate. That's getting to know yourself. That's getting to not just dictate from your mind all the mm-hmm. things and the impressions that we pick up in society and force our bodies into, mm-hmm. you know, whatever we think is right, but rather, you know, turning the tables around on that and being like, well, what is feeling right? Mm-hmm. You know, maybe sitting cross-legged and trying to clear my mind is not feeling like it's in sync with who I am right now. And maybe some days it is, but maybe it's not certain days.
Yeah. Getting to know our yeses and our nos, that we know, that's like through our bodies, right? I feel like that's been a huge gift of this way of meditating, is the more that I do it, the more that I am attuned to myself, embracing myself from our last episode, welcoming. And through that, the clearer yeses and nos are more apparent over time, right? So in that space of meditation, it's like that is the full Monty open invitation time to really be in the listening and to say yes or no. Sometimes, you know, in life we have to do the things that maybe we don't exactly, it's not a full yes, but, you know, we have responsibilities and things we need to do. But even recognizing that, recognizing what it feels like to be in alignment with your yeses and what is a no. I mean, I think that's a huge part for me anyway, of the journey of integrating a meditation practice into the daily rhythms, and that the one of the great gifts. Let's wrap up for today. Like, last thoughts, invitations for our viewers and listeners from, I mean, really anything that's there, but I don't know if you have anything specifically from Sutra Theory 3 that we want to leave with our amazing community. I mean, here,
making friends with your breath, getting to know it as an intimate friend, as this partner that is helping you sustain this existence. Everything, mm-hmm. everything, all the things that exist on our list of things to do are held by this breath that is keeping our life, our experience of life alive. So as long as there's breath, there, all these things can be done, all these dreams can be dreamt, all these places can be visited, mm-hmm. all the errands and the jobs can be done, for as long as there's breath. So really turning towards it, and like you would a lover, someone you're deeply adoring, could be a pet, could be a child, just that deep adoring of breath. And maybe that is a beautiful exploration. Spontaneity of whatever. Yeah.
Right. So maybe to spend 30 seconds, 2 minutes in adoring, cherishing the aliveness through that breath rhythm, through the fullness and the emptying out. And all that gives you, it gives you being here. We're here. How many breaths did we take in this episode? Like, what they say, we take 20 to 25,000 breaths a day. And like, what gifts can we give ourselves? What can we learn about the nature of life and ourselves if we tune into, you know, let's say 12 of those a day or 100 of those a day or 2 of those a day, right? All right, let's end with a breath. What, 2 to start with. Okay, yeah. Let's do that together. 2 to start with. So, Tanya, do you want to close today with our 2 breaths?
Sure, sure. So let's just, eyes can be closed or open. I just welcome you into feeling safe in your body so you can really draw, feel that breath. Filling, filling, filling. And then, you know, the next exhale, whichever one is being exhaled now. Just feeling, chasing, following, tracing its goodbye, its departure as it leaves the body. And it's amazing, as I use this language, it's as if my body wants to really inhale that next breath in. Like, don't go for too long. Don't be gone.
Come back. Come back.
Yeah. So it is a relationship with the lover, isn't it? That's our relationship with our breath. Just a deeply beloved, adored, cherished one that, fill my body, my mind, my soul, my lungs. And then as you leave, come back again.
Yeah, that the path of intimacy, right? That was from one of our first episodes, the path of intimacy. Being on this path of intimacy with self through breath this week.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, Tanya. That was beautiful.
Thank you so much, everyone.
Yes, for being here with us, for saying yes to you, to each other, to this community. And we'll be back next week. Have a wonderful week, everyone. So much love. Thank you. Thank you for being here with us. Tanya and I send our love and appreciation to each and every one of you. Be sure to subscribe or follow the podcast so you receive updates when new episodes are available. And if you love this episode and are listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, we would so, so appreciate you leaving a rating and review. All the reviews really, really help us to reach more listeners like you. Learn more about Tanya and her radiant offerings in the world by following her Instagram account. You can find her at TanyaKazi1. And you can find me on YouTube. Search for Alter Digital, where you can find a full library of free classes on instinctive meditation, breathwork, and mindful movement. Thank you so much for being here, and we look forward to connecting with you next week.